We'll get started. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday for another webinar here at WP Studio, where we're going to be talking about building successful landing pages. And throughout the course of this conversation about landing pages and the segments that you need for a landing page, we'll also be talking about how those tie into SEO as well as conversion practices. Because, you know, it doesn't matter if you build a landing page, if you can't direct people to your site or funnel people to your site or even convert the people to do something. So let's start with the phrase, what is a landing page? Landing page is basically just a page that serves a specific purpose that has a specific task to be done. And we'll break that down over this. There's not a huge difference. A squeeze page and a landing page can be the same thing, but a landing page normally isn't a squeeze page. Again, they're more terms depending on which web guru you talk to. They may have different definitions of a squeeze page versus a landing page. The background of those terminologies, according to what I understand it to be, a squeeze page was very simple. It was part of your funnel, and it actually looked different than your regular web page. So there's actually a physical difference. Many people would use squeeze pages as an intermediary between their newsletter or an outside link and their website, so that people who build squeeze pages, you're having a direct conversation within the text, within the image, whatever it is, the call to action, with a very specific group of people who would be coming to that squeeze page. Something that you may do is if you run an advertisement to a parenting magazine, you've got an ad in a parenting magazine for your special diaper pail that you are selling. Well, the link you would put in the magazine would go to this squeeze page, which is reinforcing the ad. It looks a little bit different. It's a landing launching point to either collect information or get that person to purchase your diaper pail immediately. A landing page is more, it fits within the construct of the website, but it has some very clear unique selling propositions as well as a targeted call to action. So we're not really going to be talking about a squeeze page, something that doesn't look like the website. We're going to be dealing with landing pages today. Now, I will also say a squeeze page, as I said, is something else that doesn't look like the website. A landing page can either be the homepage of a website, the logged out version of a website, a sub page on the website. So it can be either of those. What we're actually going to take a look at, a number of large companies use their homepage as the landing page, because everything goes through the homepage, and there are specific reasons why, and we'll get into that in just a moment. So what I will say is every website needs a landing page, whether it is the homepage or whether it is a single page that exists on the site that you direct all your social media traffic through, that anything that links from your newsletters link to that, or you have specific products that you may want to target, you're having certain conversations with certain types of clients, customers, visitors, and you need to follow the elements of a landing page, because these are conversion elements. So let's break this down and start talking about every single section that you need for a landing page. Now, in just a moment, we're going to leave this little example page and we're going to actually start looking at some live sites that do a good job of explaining or showcasing the concepts that we're talking about. So the first thing that makes a landing page is that there is a unique selling proposition. It's the USP. So if you're looking at the handout, I do refer to the USP throughout the whole handout. That is the unique selling proposition. Now, we'll come back to this, but keep in the back of your mind, part of the unique selling proposition will make up your SEO work. So what is a unique selling proposition? A unique selling proposition sets a clear expectations for customers and allows them to understand why they should care. So let me say that again. It sets a clear expectation. You could also say creates a clear parameter of the conversation for the customer and lets them know why they should care about what it is you're saying, you're telling them. So every landing page should, unless there's a very specific reason not to have it, should have four parts to a unique selling proposition. It will have everything from, let me just turn my phone off so it doesn't start buzzing here in just a moment. So the unique selling proposition has four parts. There's the main headline. There's a supporting headline. There's a reinforcement statement, and there's a closing argument. So let's talk about the main headline. And let's step back and without going to Domino's Pizza, because they actually changed their website fairly recently, where they actually removed their unique selling proposition. But you'll probably, they changed it a long time ago, but you'll remember this one. It's the idea of you'll get a fresh hot pizza delivered to your door in 30 minutes or less, or it's free. So there's clear expectations for the customer that, hey, you're going to receive a fresh hot pizza at your door in 30 minutes or less. And why should you care? Because if we don't deliver this fresh hot pizza for you, it's free. So you should care about that. So the main headline a lot of times is that unique selling proposition, that phrase that accurately describes what a visitor will get from this page. So let me explain the other three and then we'll go look at two examples. The supporting headline, the second part of unique selling proposition, can either extend the main headline or it can add additional persuasive messages that point back to it. You have a reinforcement statement that normally occurs later in the page, provides a restatement of the main message, and we'll see an example of that in just a moment. And finally, the closing argument is all about offering that last chance to do something, to get them to do. This is not the actual call to action, but it is the last time, normally at the end of a landing page, where we can re-communicate that unique selling proposition. So let's take a look at Basecamp. Does anybody know what their unique selling proposition is? It's right in front of you. It's the big black bold letters. Get it together and manage projects the right way. So there's your main statement. You even have supporting headlines right after it. They have a unique way of doing this by saying, before you met our product, you do this, and after you met the product, you do this. Both of these support the main statement. The main statement is their unique selling proposition. People feel scattered. Get it together. Things slip. It's tough to see where things are. Manage projects the right way, where things, people are stressed. So that's before you came. Basically, you're getting the opposite of the statement. After, everything is organized in one place. Great, everything is together. You're on top of things. Manage project. And a sense of calm sets in the right way. So see how Basecamp is not only having their main headline, their supporting headlines. Yes, they extend, but they also point back. Then you will normally have a reinforcement statement that occurs later. One place, not all over the place. It's a reinforcement statement that get together and manage projects the right. Get it together. One place, not all over the place. And then we have at the very end our closing argument. They use a very simple one, which we will see this with a few others. They use social examples of authority and things like that. But give Basecamp a try. Success. Hear from hundreds of customers. All right. So there's a number of things. We're going to look back at Basecamp here in just a moment as well, because this also is a good example of other things. The other one that talks about the unique selling proposition, just as an example, we talked about this one a little while ago. Their unique selling proposition here at Novi Builder is HTML drag and drop builder you will love. So what's the secondary or supporting headline? We can all go create stunning HTML websites quickly and easily. That supports drag and drop, create stunning. It goes about a different area. We also can, if we go all the way down, we also have the closing argument. It's that don't miss, special price, get a discount, get involved, want you to do something. It's also closing a call to action, which we'll deal with in just a moment. All right. So if the first thing every landing page needs is that unique selling proposition, the second one is the hero shot. We are not talking about a traditional hero area of a lot of WordPress themes or HTML templates. A hero shot is basically saying a picture is worth 1,000 words. And so we need a visual representation that we can get information across to the customer. But it's not what you might think. We want a shot, an image, a video, a graphic that will show context of use. Show, don't tell the visitor what's going on. So we've already told them through the unique selling proposition. And there's a perfect example. Airbnb does this very well. Does anybody know what their unique selling proposition is for Airbnb? It is right in front of you. It's the main text on the page. Book unique places to stay and things to do. Look at the picture. It is a unique place. Most people are not going to think about living or renting a fire tower, a fire watch tower, as your place to vacation. So that's unique. What they even do is each time you refresh, you should get, like, I may have to clear my cookie. Hopefully their site refreshes a little bit quicker than this. Okay. Everybody should possibly come to a different picture, but they actually have a bunch of different unique pictures here. They're unique places to stay. So that's one way to do it. Literally take the unique selling proposition. Find an image that is the 1,000 words that references that main title. So this is showing the context. It's showing that you can live in a unique environment, or you can stay in a unique environment. Okay, so it looks like maybe they change it every day. Maybe it's every few hours or something. But let's go back to Basecamp, because Basecamp uses the other way of doing a hero shot, and that's context of use. My hero shot tells me, shows me how, what Basecamp is going to do for me. I can create the projects, involve people. Here's my different tools I can use. I see the context of use. I'm not seeing a generic photo of workers getting things done. I get the context of use of get it together and manage the project the right way. Novi Builder, what is their hero? They actually have a graphic or a video of the context of use of their builder being used as they need it. Shopify, this is another way. If you're going to use multiple, if you're going to use just straight graphics, straight images, you either need to have something so declarative of uniqueness of, you know, if your unique is the big word that you're working on, you better have a picture that is very unique about staying in a place that is unique. But if you don't, you need to have a story arc. That's why sometimes the videos or GIFs can be a great usage of context. But notice how Shopify, yes, there's a video here, but look at what they've done with the story arc. Okay, you're going to design here. You set up your item. You've got a mobile device and it looks like you're selling something. So there is a bit of a story arc that you can create as part of the hero shot. What is there? You've got the will. We've got the way. Build your business. And they're building that story arc of you've got your business you're building through just standalone images. So we've got our unique selling proposition. We've got our hero shot. Then every landing page must have benefits. This normally follows the main statement of the unique selling proposition. It provides a more detailed description of the offer's benefits and features. And hopefully your unique selling proposition has grabbed the attention of the visitor so that they can focus on answering through these benefits sections or this part of your website about benefits. It answers the question, what will this do for me? That's what we want to be able to answer when somebody comes to the website. We've told them, we've got our unique selling proposition. We have reinforced it with this hero area, this hero image description item. Now we want to be able to say what it will do for the person visiting. Now, I'm going to say avoid feature-based and focus more on benefit-based, benefit-based type conversation. Another way to think about this is a benefit describes the problem you are solving, while a feature-based approach describes what the product does. So we want to focus on the problems we are solving. So if we keep looking at Shopify, start your business journey is a benefit where you can, these, yes, you do have features in here, but the benefit is you start your business journey. You're able to sell everywhere. That's a benefit. You can market your business, manage everything. If we go back to Basecamp, it's one place. Basically, they don't even really spend much time with the benefits because they have they use a lot of the customer testimonials to deal with this. But in this, we see where is this? No. Let's go over here. Is this the one I want? We'll get to Buffer here in just a moment. Okay, so here's benefits of Buffer. Plan and collaborate on your content. It has nothing to do with the ease of entering content, connecting social networks, approving things, scheduling things. It's plan and collaborate, where you can schedule, tailor, calendar. You can collaborate on content, draft posts, approvals, all these different things. You can take your Instagram marketing to the next level. All benefits for this. Organize conversations, share files, find everything, integrate your tools, talk it out face to face. These are benefits. Not once does it talk about the certain type of voice IP capabilities. Not once does it say, you know, our search is so big and runs so fast it can handle 5,000 billion things a second. Organize your conversation. It doesn't talk about how things are threaded, how things can have sub-conversations. It simply deals with the benefits. All right. So we've got benefits, the answering the question, what will this do for me? We're explaining what problem we are solving. We've got a hero shot, we've got the unique selling proposition, and now we come to the social proof. This is one of these sections of a landing page that make it a landing page. Some may seem it underhanded, but basically in today's marketing world, the ability for visitors to your site to see, quote, other people like me that are taking advantage of the offer provides a very strong persuasive argument. The idea that I see testimonials, actual people that I can figure out, oh, this person liked this. We can come over here and we have 4,883 companies signed up last week alone. Testimonials from some large named groups. Testimonials of well-known companies. These are also things like numeric counts of customers. Awards from reputable organizations, customer reviews. So Barry, if you don't have social proofs, like you don't have, or your client doesn't have a strong social presence yet, there's not anything that's out there. These are times where we want to focus on customer reviews, customer testimonials. These are things that you can share, get more generic sales information. 4,000 pounds of hay shipped in the past week. All sorts of things that you can, if you can give a numeric proof, a social proof, somebody has bought your stuff, somebody has done something. Now, it is absolutely vitally important that you don't make this up. Because there are people out there like me who's when I come to your website and I want to learn just a little bit about, I may look for social proof. I may look for a testimonial. And I may see Simon Smith. You know what? I'm going to reverse search this guy. So let's copy this image address And we're going to go to TinEye. So I bring over TinEye, and I'm going to upload my, oops, now I'm in a, there we are. So let's see if we can find anything about this person. Okay, so this actually is not a good thing. Because if I'm looking and I see that photo, and the thing is, I know the guys over at Novi Builder. Not I know them well, I've met them. So that's discouraging. That I see this picture showing up everywhere. And now, for some reason, my TinEye has So what you're looking for, basically, now, if he runs a sofa company, I don't think he runs a sofa company, though, WebPixel Studio. What you're looking for is also anything that will show up, and normally it shows up in the first page or two of oh, I know what it's doing. All right, so this is another thing. I think it's actually, no, it's looking for that exact one. All right, do you see what just happened? We've now been able to track that there is a random user finding a portrait. It's a Gravatar. So it's very possible that that is an actual person. They're using their Gravatar because it actually was going through WordPress's Gravatar item. All right. Well, you get the idea. Don't fake it. It would be great if things link back or have the name in the photo. Brent, his name is Rick Smith. Well, they say his name is Simon Smith. Okay. Okay, we've kind of fell down. My apologies. We fell down that rabbit trail. I didn't mean to go down there. But that's part of the reason why we don't want to fake it. I know we've done that in the past for other webinars, and we found like a major companies that were literally pulling in stock photos. Now, what I will say is this is not pulling back a direct stock photo. Normally, if it is a stock photo on that first page of TinEye, you are literally going to see stock photo websites. And when that happens, how can we trust anything? Because there's no more social proof. All I know is be very careful. So let's get back to the original question Barry was talking about. Well, what about if you don't have social proof? Yes, you can list associations, professional groups that your client are a part of, things you service or groups that you are a part of. Any of these things that provide proof that you interact with others. This is not information about you. This is not creating the trust factor. It's adding to it. But it's more social proof is in the marketing world a way for us to reinforce the unique selling proposition. Don't pick customer testimonials that simply talk about how great you are. Get testimonials that talk about the product or the benefit that they received from the product so that it's able to go back and reinforce the unique selling proposition. So that's the fourth one, social proof. The fifth one is the call to action. Basically, on this page, What is it? What's the one activity you want them to do? So if we come over here to Basecamp, what is the one activity they want us to do? They want us to give Basecamp a try. Try it free. Give Basecamp a try. Give Basecamp a try. There's not on the homepage. There's not really anything else. Yes, there are other links to resources, you know, their blog, their customer testimonials. You have some additional menu items. But really within the actual landing page, there is a very specific goal. Notice how it doesn't say click here or submit. They're using the statement that reinforces or talks about what they should get. They can try it for free. What's this? Try it for free or get started. Go all the way down. Try Slack. What is the one thing they want you to do? They want you to search. The interesting thing is Airbnb, scroll through the whole thing. It sometimes takes a while to load everything. There is no other call to action. Notice how Airbnb doesn't even ask for your email address. They're not even looking at, they have a very focused landing page. Again, it's for the logged out users. The focus is to get you using their service. Buffer. Get started now. Keep scrolling down. Get started now. Keep scrolling down. Get started now. That is the focus of Buffer. Shopify. Get free trial. What's the next thing? Sure, you can play that. That's going to be a video that opens, but you have start free trial. But a call to action, as you've just seen, needs to actually, none of these are saying click here, submit, get started, it's free. This whole idea of Webflow, it can talk to you about everything it can do, but I basically have three buttons, one in the header, get started, it's free, that sticks with me. One at the very bottom, get started, it's free. One at the very top, get started, it's free. Brent, you need to have a call to action at the within the top part of the website, at the very end, and then you need to decide whether or not you need to space things out. If you are going to do the same call to action, or sorry, if you're going to do the call to action in multiple places, it needs to be, like Webflow, exactly the same design, the same style, the same font, the same color. Nothing else should have this blue button on their call to action, on their landing page, because we don't want to confuse anybody. And it's a singular thing. Get started, get started, get started. It's free. Yes, there are other links, but there's no, notice how Webflow has made the thing is we're not, our goal is not to build our email list. Our goal is to get people started. Join, Lyft. We'll talk about Lyft in just a moment. Paul, yes, call to action, that the information I'm saying, if you're going to use it in multiple places on page, it's got to be the same. That should be just for landing pages. The reason why is on other places that are not just landing pages, they may be, there may be funnel pages, there may be things that are just regular informational things, but you are wanting to collect the email address, you're wanting to do something else, or you're wanting multiple things, or you're going to offer multiple things for visitors on that page. They don't have to be the same thing because you're basically asking them different requests. But even Basecamp, try it for free, try it for free. And if we go down here, it's the same yellow. Give Basecamp a try. I even get the yellow when I hover over, try it for free. There isn't anything else on Basecamp. So we need to decide when we are building a landing page, do we want them to click a button to get them involved? Do we want them to fill out a form? That's what Airbnb wants them to do. We want them to fill out a form. They don't care about you getting, submitting, getting a free trial, doing this, posting a tweet. They want you to fill out a form. So they make the form as simple as possible to get the ball rolling. Now, we need to know who you are. Who are you, the site owner, the company behind the site? There needs to be a trust factor. If you want me to do something, especially if one of your goals is to collect an email address or actually get privacy data, I want to know who you are, who runs the site. Why should I enter into a business relationship with you? There must be something on the site that says a little bit about you. It can link off, but I need to be able to find something about you. I need to be able to come in here and learn more about our company. I need to be able to come over here and learn more. Airbnb doesn't really do that as well, but Buffer has the about. Over here, we have an about. These are things that sometimes we forget about. We need this information where if I want to know about you, there's got to be an about somewhere on that landing page. Self-driving, going all the way down, stay informed. This is a sub page of Lyft, and we're going to use it here in just a moment. So we need to build that trust factor. But here's the other thing. If I'm on your landing page and I see that your unique selling proposition is that Lyft wants to shape the self-driving future, what do they want me to do? They want me to join something. We want you to be the first to experience the new technology and help us improve. This is where I need to know if I'm able to communicate my questions to you. And a landing page can do that in several ways. One of them is coming over here and saying, maybe you have there's some frequently asked questions. So let's see, if I start to place 3 or 4 generic questions that might come from the landing page, how soon does it take to launch a website? Boom. A little information about, well, that depends on this, this, and this, and this. Great. You answered my question. How good is this baby diaper box at keeping out the smells? Blah, blah, blah. Lyft, I'm just going to say, it runs on WP Engine. Some of their URLs are completely messed up. And part of it is the way WP Engine has pushing capabilities. So some of their teams are on WP Engine, some of their main sites are not. And so a lot of the people are not linking directly up. If you were to go to the actual Lyft site, you're going to actually be off WP Engine. So a bunch of the subsets of Lyft are run on WP Engine, some are not. But it is one of those weird things. So having an FAQ question, let's take a look. Are there other places where I can, if I have questions, e-commerce support. Oh, I can get questions. I can get answers to this. help. Down here. Answering questions here. There's a whole bunch of resources. Help center, tips, Basecamp. Have questions. Great way to say that we are available for questions. So we want to make sure that we communicate on our landing page that there is a way that we have concerned, or meaning that when I use the word concerned communication, it means we're not just slapping an email address and saying, you guys figure out what it is. We are concerned about having open communication with our customers, and we want to be able to talk about the things that we need. And then finally, we have, I'll call it the comfort footer. This is our way of being professional. We can have a really cool, designed, graphically unique landing page that is very creative. But you'll notice that most of these websites, creative and everything, pretty standardized footer systems with a very curated menu list, as well as links to privacy policies, terms of service, and other important information. You know, we've got sitting here, Buffer has a curated menu system, terms of service, privacy policy. Buffer, going down to the bottom. You know, as creative as all this is, all of a sudden we get to the footer and curated menu and privacy, terms of service, copyrights, Slack, curated. Basecamp's a little bit different. They still try and use this as a communication tool, but we have a curated link and policies, terms of services. Going all the way down to Novi Builder, basically they just have copyright and social stuff. But in all of the creativeness of creating a landing page, the footer needs to be the professional side of it. Because if anybody, once they've seen your call to action, they want to participate, the unique selling proposition speaks to them. They've seen your social proof that, okay, there's other people doing this. I trust you. I know I can get answers, questions answered. There's a trust factor that you have satisfied. I just need to know, again, are there other terms that we need to have in the business relationship? I need to know that you have terms of service, that you have a privacy policy. So, Trish, what do I mean by curated? So the curated items are, let's come over here. So here's Slack's main logged out menu system where they say, all right, why Slack? How it works, security, customers. Sure, why Slack, security, customers. Wait, but there's pricing, there's enterprise, and Slack demos. We have enterprise pricing. So we have curated and said, these are the things, solutions. Notice how there's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, it is 7. I thought for some reason it wasn't. So we do have this. Resources is just a restatement, but it's not going into the full sub thing. It's just keeping the higher directory. Now, if we go over to Buffer, it's going to be very different because why? Buffer just has pricing, resources, about, the core areas. Then the curated one is it's choosing, maybe it's the same items, but now we're choosing specific areas. E-commerce, start, let's come over here, sell, market, manage. So this is a little bit different. This is where you say, here are the key elements of the website. So if you're coming to my landing page and I need themes, or I need domain names, or I need drop shipping, or I'm looking for investor information, or I'm, they should be able to find it in the footer on your landing page. Down here, Webflow basically has features, and there's a lot of stuff here, Webflow, resources. There's a lot of things in this, but we have features, why Webflow, resources, and blogs. But down at the bottom, they're dealing with what type of customer are you for the product, information about the company, how to learn, and our social networks. So it's curated as a way of, this is the professional part of our product. Now, let's say you've done this. You've gone through and you have created your unique selling proposition. Ask people unlimited questions. So that's their product. So they've got ways to have Q&As, events, answer your questions, ask me anything, blah, blah, blah. You've got your hero shot, which would be this image, whatever it would be here, which would be maybe a person or a bunch of questions being asked. You've got benefits in this. Maybe these are the benefits. I don't know what they are. You've got social proof of other people who have provided really good answers. Our call to action is to get involved. Our trust factor, we don't have it here in this example, but maybe we would have something like who are we, or about us, or something like that. We don't have the example of the footer in this old image, this old mock-up, but we'd have a footer. So once you've done all that and you've gone through this, we're missing the main element. And that's a lot of times when we're dealing with the client, or a client asks us to create a landing page, we go at it. We say, oh, I've got these eight little sections, my footer, my trust factor, my social proof, my hero image or graphic. I'm putting all these things together because I know they want a landing page for their, you know, new baby diaper dumpster, scooper, whatever. You've got all this stuff and you've put it together, and you have to ask yourself, am I actually communicating to the people who are going to be receiving this? So have you done the legwork? Have you defined the goals for this page? Is it to generate brand awareness, boost sales, capture emails from new leads, educate audience? See, basically, all the legwork you should do before you start building falls into three categories. Is it awareness, engagement, conversion? So for example, this is not only an awareness, but there is a conversion. They want people to try things out. Slack, we want people to engage, to get involved here. In Airbnb, it's not really awareness. It's not really engagement. It's more conversion. We want them to do something. And so that is to search so that we can start closing the deal. In Buffer, we want them to convert, to create an account, all these type of things. In self-driving, we want them to join. We want them to actually sign up by submitting an email address about self-driving cars. So they're not actually asking for anything other than your email address. So then they need to say, "Who, if we are looking to convert, or we are looking to, yeah, convert to get an email address, that's our goal. Do we know who the audience is? Where is the visitor? How old are they? Do they have family? Are they single? What is their job title? Are they self-employed? Do they work for somebody else?" When you start answering those questions, you can then go back into your text of your unique selling proposition, and you can see, you know, notice how get ready for your first ride. Watch your phone, how to get a car, have a guide for every ride. A, we know somebody wants to, so they're going to have a phone. So, you know, watch your phone. We don't need to tell them about what phone they need or what app they need. If they're in this self-driving, they're looking for this type of stuff, they're already technically savvy, and so therefore they're ready to just watch their phone, how to get the car, some very basic things. Then we're looking at what are some of their concerns with self-driving. What do you think the number one concern, according to Lyft's brain, the number one concern is probably safety. So one of the first things they do is safety is always first. So what does safety do? Okay, so if you answered my question about safety, my keyword, if I'm searching for safety, self-driving, maybe I'm also looking for robots are going to take over the world and Lyft self-driving cars will make all the Lyft drivers lose their jobs. Well, they address that. And then they're looking, okay, great. How do I get involved? Boom. If we start asking for how might people phrase their queries, how are they using slang? What keywords would somebody never use? You know, they're not going to use Uber to get Lyft information. They might, but then they can't advertise. What is the person interested in? Do they like specific brands they might be related? Do they dislike certain brands? Example, if we go back over here to, no, it was Slack. Now, I know Slack, well, they used to. There are some large companies that use Slack that probably do not have or that have some negative connotations amongst the audience of Slack users. Now, who is, this is our, everybody in the chat room, who do you think are the main Slack users, the people who actually, companies who pay money for Slack? Or just not the actual company. What type of work category? Like, I'm going to just say tech companies. There are many tech companies that lean, at least from the management side, more on the progressive side of politics. That's just how it is. I personally know that a large user of Slack is Chick-fil-A. Their entire management team, everything else like that. Do you see Chick-fil-A on their list of users who use Slack? No. Because a large portion of Slack's customer base is more of a progressive focused, who they may or may not like Chick-fil-A. So why should they put Chick-fil-A's branding on here if it may upset the conversation they're having with a large majority of companies that buy their product? So are you actually looking at, do they dislike certain brands? Do we need to remove those brands, even though it might be a great solution, or we're really happy that Chick-fil-A uses Slack? No, we may want to sit and consider who is the audience, and let's not, you know, offend the people. I mean, the other one is, regardless of what you think of the NRA, I'm pretty sure that I do know the CEO and the other Airbnb people have come out against NRA, but they also use, see, Airbnb uses Slack. So does the NRA. So Slack is not going to put the NRA, even though the NRA is much bigger user base than Airbnb. So when we do the legwork, are we asking all those questions? So in the handout I gave you, I wrote a whole bunch of questions. My challenge to you is to have a separate page. Maybe you can create a Google Drive document or something that you will use all the time. But we're going to create a landing page. We're going to work through this. We are going to put together a list of who we believe this is communicating to. Is it 20-year-old new first-time mothers? Oh, if it is, you know, maybe we want to get some not only customer testimonials from popular mommy bloggers and less of Julia Child's granddaughter approval rating. I'm just making this up. Not that you couldn't figure that out. So we need to know who the audience is so that we can start applying that to the different segments. What do we put in the footer? What type of questions are being asked? Do we need to create other or new pages on the website that can be a part of the footer because we know those questions or the frequently asked questions are going to come up? So I would create that document that is your legwork where we're asking the questions about the audience. Now, here's what sometimes happens when we're doing this for a client. When we start to parse out these questions, the target audience, what is the goal? We sometimes find ourselves seeing that we have two divergent audiences. So therefore, we may need to have two different landing pages. That all of a sudden, our homepage is no longer the landing page. Our homepage now becomes, are you looking to be, let's go to actual lifts. Are you wanting to be a driver or a rider? Okay, so now on my Lyft website, if I go to driver, now I go to the driver landing page. Okay, want to start today? Enter your phone number. Boom, that's exactly what you need. Well, if you're a rider, we want to send you the rider app. We need your phone number for that. So by answering all these questions, who's the visitor, how old, what is going on, and if you do this in conjunction with the client, having them fill out a form, getting them to, sometimes it's just easier for you to just tell the client, hey, I need 10, 15 minutes of your time. I want to do a survey with you so I can better understand your customer user base. And based on the answers the client gives, you can ask additional questions. If they say, okay, we're dealing with families. Okay, great. Do most of your customers, do these have kids? Are they older? Are they empty nesters? Are they self-employed? Where do they work? What part of the country are your main customers? By getting down to those details, we can finally craft the landing page to speak to that specific user group. That's what they're there for. Other people may stumble upon the landing page. They may read it, may not specifically talk to them, but that's where on our landing page, down in our comfort footer, people know they can find information about a company. They can find information about a website if you go to the footer. I can find information that maybe I can dig a little bit deeper on my own. I don't have to be guided from your landing page, so I'll go down here because the landing page doesn't talk to me. It's not specifically talking to you. But when we can talk to the client's customer base, we can target everything around, is it awareness? Is it a conversion? Are we trying to collect an email? Are we trying to get them to use something? Are we trying to get them to download something? Brent, yes, I would, on a landing page, I would restrict navigation. But that also depends on whether you're actually on the homepage. And if you're on the homepage and you're thinking, well, I don't want to restrict the navigation, you've got to ask yourself, oh, do I need massive amounts of information in the navigation on the homepage? Or do I need just four segments and to treat the four sub pages as now the landing pages for each one of those products, for web hosting, for design, for logo design? All those things, we need to figure out who we're talking to. The days of just generic everything you need, kitchen sink on one page, too many people are using mobile devices to access your site. They're not going to consume massive amounts of data on your page, but they're willing to go through your funnel to find the conversation that you want to have with them. Lyft, am I a driver or a rider? Boom, I go to the rider. I learn information about the rider, and therefore I don't have to deal with anything about driving or business. Now, let's deal with the SEO. So if you've done all your heavy lifting of creating your unique selling proposition, of going through the process of having supporting statements, of having hero image, having the call to action, all the support for that unique selling proposition with an action, all of a sudden our SEO, pull this up. Let's go to the SEO of the header of our notice how Basecamp puts everything you need to get work done in one place. It's a calm, organized way to manage products. Oh, not only is that a combination of their main headline, it's also part of their subheading. They've already written it. Now, all of a sudden, our SEO descriptions and our titles are being pulled from the call to action, the main heading of the unique selling proposition. And it makes our SEO work that much easier. So the SEO aspect of a landing page is simple from the actual meta information. But that's also where we sit there and say, our unique selling proposition is an H1. Our subheadings would be an H2 or subheader tagged. I believe if we come here, this should. It is an H1. See? Just on a whim. It's exactly what it should be. It's an H1. Now, they've sized it their own thing. But if we come over here, now theirs is just a paragraph text. But their main thing is in a header. I would put the sub things. Let's check this one. It's an H2. That's one of the supporting headers. So use your H1, use your H2. Let's take a look at this image. Inspect this image, because in the image, their alt tag is not very good. Their alt tag is horrible. Here's what a Basecamp project looks like. Unless they're focused, maybe they found that people look for what does a Basecamp project look like. So then they're answering the question, what a Basecamp project looks like. So that maybe that's what it's, actually I'm wondering. What does a Basecamp project look like? So if I come over here, image, there's actually a lot of Basecamp. Actually, it's all using the similar type of setup. but those are actually Basecamp. And most of these are Basecamp.com. So maybe that's what they're doing. Again, I can't guess. Yeah, the name of the image is horrible. But if we come over here, let's check this. I think Airbnb is, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that I think it's maybe. I got to find where the landing page header. Where's the image? It's buried deep in here. Well, that's the form action. Let's go beyond that. There we are. Well, yeah, I think that's the image. Okay. Yep, that's the image. Okay, so diving in here, we do have our image, alt tag. Do we have any alt tag in here? No. There is absolutely no alt tag for this image. That's a problem because they miss so much. They have this ability to have a unique places to stay with Airbnb. Because if I went to Google and I went, let me do this. Unique places to stay, Airbnb. Well, let me pull up the Google search. I was on the wrong window. Images. We're missing out on their current image doesn't show up. Now, there are some definitely unique places to stay. But notice how none of these images are actually Airbnb. We even use the company name, Airbnb. None of the websites that are showing up on the first page of this Google image search are actually Airbnb related. That shows you how much it matters, where people have actually found an issue that, look, Airbnb doesn't use alt tags in their images, and so therefore it's not going to be indexed properly in Google image search. And so other people are now, everything they do about Airbnb, they're going to alt tag their images, which gets it included in search results. And Trish, yes, you're right. They've got their traffic. Everybody knows who they are. They're kind of getting complacent. But there's going to be somebody coming along who says, you know what? I have a better way of searching Airbnb stuff. And I may create a service that allows people to book these custom things through me rather than them. So with the SEO, allow the research that you do to create that headline. Use the headline in the SEO. Use those questions you're trying to answer in the descriptions, in the H1 tags, the header tags. Use alt tags on any image that you're using that all relate back to that unique selling proposition. All right. Well, I know we've just covered a whole bunch. We've definitely gone over time here. I hope having the conversation about doing the legwork and then the eight other sections every SEO, or sorry, every landing page needs, can give you some directions, as well as maybe even allow you to create your own checklist. Because I believe every website needs at least one landing page. Many websites, the landing page is the home page. But we need to figure out who we're talking to and what is the one thing we want them to do. Trish, great question. For a new business, would you start with awareness, then engagement conversation? It really depends on what the business is. If the business is about selling a product, but you haven't manufactured the product, your landing page is all about awareness. And maybe your call to action is sign up for release information. But maybe if you're not selling a product, you are providing a service, maybe this is where you have engagement as your focus. You use, once they're engaged with your site or creating an account, that's when you can have the continued conversation that handles awareness. It depends on where a person, a company is in the process of building their client base. And you may find that your homepage simply is a funnel to all three of those areas. Maybe your menu on your homepage is learn more, join now, and services. Where learn more is your awareness, get involved, here's the things we offer, sign up for our email list so you know. Awareness is here's all our products. Engagement is here's how you can get started for free. Something like that. And those are three subpages. All right. Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of your Tuesday. Don't forget, on Thursday, we've got another webinar where we are going to be dealing with the block editor versus classic editor. We're going to be doing some side-by-side stuff, as well as maybe some future-looking things, depending on if I can get a new tool compiled in enough time. So have a great rest of the Tuesday, and I will see you all in Slack. Take care, everybody.